The purpose of Retire with Style is to help you discover the retirement income plan that is right for you. The first step is to discover your retirement income personality. Start by going to risaprofile.com/style and sign up to take the industry's first financial personality tool for retirement planning. It only took 11 episodes, but Wade and Alex have finally gotten around to talking about retirement. And even then, they needed a guest to help them get going.
Hey everyone, Alex here, and welcome to Retire with Style. I'm with my trusted associate,
Wade. Hi everyone.
And we have a very special guest today. Just before we introduce him, just so that so everyone knows, this is the first time we've ever had an interviewee on Retire with Style. So there's no pressure on this person to just hit it out of the park. Well, frankly, I mean, let's see if Wade and I don't stumble over each other. But I'd like to introduce Dan Vito. Dan?
Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for having me. I'm really pleased to be here.
No worries.
Alex, you're making me sweat already. Come on now.
You should have said, well, it took Wade 3 or 4 episodes to stop sweating. So we'll see how that goes. But this is an interesting one simply because, Wade, how does it feel being the interviewer, not the interviewee?
It is a complete. I'm used to people asking me questions, not used to asking other people questions, but I'm looking forward to it. And if we can break kayfabe a little bit here with everyone, we did record 10 episodes originally. This is now episode 11. And so there's been a little bit of a break in between, but we're very happy. We know that people are listening to the podcast with this recording. We didn't know that beforehand. So thank you everyone for listening and keep going forward here with additional episodes.
Yeah. We decided to continue.
Or in episode 10, you said it was the end of the season. Now we're starting season 2.
But what Wade did forget is we have 2 more in the can. Like 11 and 12. So yeah. So way to pay attention, Wade. Thank you for playing. What happened?
I mean, this is unlucky 13. Are you gonna skip?
Well, I guess so.
I guess, but hey, out of order probably, because this will be episode 11. Or else I'm saying something completely wrong.
Oh, I see what you're saying. All right, well. We'll let the audience figure that out.
There were more episodes that we recorded.
Okay, are we done, Wade?
Yes. Let's go ahead and introduce Dan. Thank you for joining us, Dan.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
You're an excellent interviewer, Wade. You really are.
Yeah, he's the Larry King of retirement income.
Love it.
That's what we all aspire to be. Quick story here with Dan. We met Dan. Actually, we were having one of our retirement income challenges, and Dan jumped in on one of those just because I guess he's a glutton for punishment. And through it all, we started interacting, and his background was fascinating, so much so that we thought, hey, why don't we try to see how we can kind of fold you in to what we're doing with the greater proposition of retirement researcher, and it's been great so far. But Dan, why don't you take it away and give everyone a little bit of your background and why you're here?
Yeah. So, I got into the study of retirement a little bit before retirement was cool and trendy. First kind of 10 years of my career, I was in financial services for McKinsey, a consulting company, and senior executive at a couple of financial firms. And I was trained as an electrical engineer. So, you know, at heart, I'm a total gridhead. But while I was at Bankers, I started to really study consumer behavior much more closely. And what I learned to my shock is that many, many people don't make rational decisions about preparing for retirement. And it was at about that time when I realized, holy cow, you know, we have a retirement crisis brewing. And I became basically obsessed and focused from that point on to be fully dedicated to studying retirement And my professional goal since that moment has been to help every single American improve their retirement outlook. And it's a tall order, but it keeps me motivated.
Yeah, and real quick, something for clarity for all of our audience. What's the difference between a grid head and a propeller head?
I don't know. We might have to take that offline. That gets a little deep.
All right. So,
it surprised me that, I was such an analytic type person that, the notion that people would make decisions based on emotion and not logic just was shocking to me.
Well, I truthfully, and I think Wade, you may want to chime in, but one of the reasons we wanted to associate with folks like yourselves, Kevin Lyles is another one, and we'll have him at some point. But it was really because even though we do all of this research with regards to the numbers and, even the RESA has kind of led to preferences, we realized the softer side of things, ends up being ultimately more impactful over the long term within retirement. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I think it's I think both elements are important. Wait, go ahead. I heard you speaking. Well, no, just,
right. He's making fun of me. Wade's making fun of me.
Retirement researcher. Usually more on the financial side, but it's that non-financial aspect that you really focus on that brings so much value. And ultimately, people are going to figure out their money situation, but they're going to have a harder time figuring out the issues that you focus on, the non-financial considerations about how to find meaning and purpose in retirement.
Yeah, I think all that's important. And ultimately, for me, I mean, those two things meet. I mean, they're not separate. And, some people come at it principally from a financial point of view. If we had a doctor, a gerontologist or a geriatrician, somebody who might come at it from either a social aspect or a health aspect. Ultimately, it's about the retirement experience, and all those elements have to kind of come together in a way that makes sense for the individual to have a satisfying retirement experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the money will, again, they'll be able to figure that out as needed, but it's these other considerations. Yeah. And that's, we had a gap in that type of information at Retirement Researcher, but you've really helped us fill that gap. Some of the workshops and webinars you've done already at Retirement Researcher, I know you had one, Family Dynamics at the Intersection of Love and Money, so more about those family relationships. Your retirement plan and your plan for retirement, which is, your retirement plan is the financial side, your right. plan for retirement is the non-financial side. And then optimizing your other portfolio, maximizing returns from your new time affluence in retirement, figuring out how you're going to spend that time. So it's been really invaluable to have your contributions. And so we're so excited that you're continuing forward. And we'll talk later about some of the new initiatives that you'll be doing. But yeah, just getting this chance to understand better about your background. I know I've cited a number of the studies that you were part of, the age wave studies, the information about housing and retirement and people downsizing in retirement and a lot of different aspects that are, well, there's a relationship to the financial side, but it's different. It's all these other aspects, the health, the family, the legacy in terms of like, not just money, but what do you're going to leave the next generation and so forth.
And just because you mentioned it, real quick, Dan, what type of research have you been involved in, in terms of the age wave and all of that for the benefit of our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, I really honestly, I count myself as kind of blessed because I love what I do. And almost all the research that I do, it's always under sort of a private label arrangement. So it's not Dan Vito's research. It's Dan Vito as a consultant to large organizations like, Wade mentioned, work through AgeWave on some really interesting work for Merrill Lynch and Bank of America. All of it, the goal is to learn something brand new about retirement, something that maybe people suspected but had never quantified, some frontier of knowledge and research that will help us better understand the retirement experience. So my research always starts with the individual and explores, what do they expect out of retirement? What do they fear about retirement? What are common mistakes that people make? So it starts with the individual and then leads into financial implications, right? Leads into implications about housing. And over the years, I think one time I added it up, I've looked at maybe 100,000 people's responses to, their retirement experience over the years. And And also another piece of the research, which is not as quantitative, but then I get to go out and talk to people all across the world about the research findings and get their reactions. And so you know that, you know, when your insights are resonating with people, important. And so, yeah, I've been lucky enough to work with many, many large financial institutions. You know, AARP was a client of mine for a little while. I mean, organizations that have a keen interest.
So I have two questions from that. What, from all the research, what do people expect? There's two questions. What do people expect from retirement based on your, you know, your experiences? And, you know, with the qualitative interviews that you've done and when, in which you're conveying the results of your research, what has drawn the biggest aha reaction? Like, oh, I didn't know that. Or, yes, I knew that. You know, whatever. What has drawn the most emotion or tenor, if you will?
Yeah, so what I would say is, to answer the first part of that question, what people expect out of retirement has changed a lot. In fact, not to go too far off track here, but, you know, retirement is
take it far off track. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, that's right. That's fine. I mean, retirement is actually a fairly recent invention, right? I mean, you go back pre-industrial revolution, pre-social security, and all right. I mean, you worked on a family farm with extended family. And, you know, as your capabilities, your physical capabilities maybe diminished, you took on different roles. But, you know, you were involved till the end. So retirement has been evolving quite a bit since its sort of modern day inception. And I would say today it's very exciting because people today expect more out of retirement than ever before. The majority of people see retirement as a whole new chapter in life, right? That it's not a time to just wind down and recede into the background. It's a chance to do something new. And importantly, maybe for the first time in decades, the things of our own choosing, right? So for whatever, you know, for three or four decades, I've been too busy pleasing the boss or running the firm or whatever it was that I was absolutely committed to and consumed all of my time and then some. And then all of a sudden, wow, you know, I'm going to get to control my agenda. And ironically, I will tell you, to answer the second part of your question, the biggest aha that most people have is that it's actually not a way you kind of mentioned this, right? People are remarkably elastic. And so the biggest aha is, you know, we spend all this time building out our financial retirement plan when the great gift of retirement is time, right? It's the freedom to do the things of your own choosing. And some recognize that before retirement. In fact, many don't. And, you know, you may have heard of people kind of failing retirement. Like, oh, I retired. I hated it. You know, I went back to work, right? You know people like that. And that's because when you retire, you get this time affluence. But you don't want to squander it, right? You got to figure out, have a meaningful reason to get up in the morning, right? What is your motivating purpose? And that's oftentimes becomes recognized a little later in retirement. You know, people are all worried.
Dan, the only thing I would add, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm trying to put myself in the ears of listeners here. And there is that saying, it's never about the money. It's always about the money. You know, kind of thing. And yeah. So I understand, you know, these existential kind of things that you want to fulfill. But I would imagine there's some baseline of money that is needed to be able to even have these considerations. That could be a problem or not. I just want to, I don't know if we're getting in the let them eat cake kind of realm a little bit.
No, Alex, it's a really important point because one of the things that can happen is that if people don't have their financial house in order, they can be worried about the money, obviously, right? And people can become so worried about their money situation that it actually robs them of the opportunity to enjoy retirement, right? So there absolutely is a baseline kind of level of financial kind of organization and planning that people should do and take. It's not, people aren't 100% elastic, right? Their needs.
And what do you mean by elastic for audience, just in case?
Yeah. So I've done this work, I've done this work for a long time. And one of the things I think is often curious is that pre-retirees have greater angst about their financial situation than retirees, right? And if it happened once, you could say, well, group, but I've seen it time
and time again. No, Wade and I saw that. Wade, we saw that in our research.
Yeah, we've also seen that with our retirement income style awareness research, where people's concerns about outliving their money decrease as they get older. They become less worried about it.
So they got less time to worry about it.
Right, they have less time. But also, I think, and this is to the elasticity point, people are more adaptable than perhaps we give them credit. And so, you know, as financial advisor, you might say, 80% pre-retirement income. Pick a number.
Whatever.
Actually, people can do okay, with different numbers. Now, having said that, you might not want to live on 25% of your pre-retirement income. That may not be a lifestyle you really would choose to have. And by taking some steps before you retire, you can maximize your retirement financial security. That just opens up the opportunity to have a more fulfilling retirement.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I took you off the rails with that one. I just wanted to make sure no one was listening, thinking, oh, these are first world problems. That kind of thing.
I mean, the broader point, maybe some people have to return to work because they do need additional funds. But for some people, they may ultimately want to return to work because that's what gives them meaning and purpose. And there's not going to be any retirement police who come out and say, no, you can't work. You're retired. It's all about
you know what, Wade, you remind me of a story. I was,
sorry, my mind went elsewhere.
Your friend Wade reminds me of a story. I was in San Diego giving a retirement presentation, and this guy came up to me afterwards, and he later told me he was, 75 years old. And he said, I'm a doctor, and I love being a doctor, but my kids are telling me I have to retire. I've got to go, move to Arizona or, whatever, throw in the towel. And I said, so, you still good at your job? I said, absolutely. I would never take a risk and, practice medicine if I didn't think I was 100%. I said, so keep practicing. And it was a simple comment. And my God, his whole demeanor changed, right? He was like, he was begging for someone to give him permission to keep working. And it's right to your point, Wade. I mean, there aren't retirement police. And for some people working, by the way, maybe not 80 hours a week, right? But for some people, working is a motivating purpose. And so they should absolutely keep working, but maybe work a little more on their own terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that other phrase you hear a lot? Like, you don't want to retire from something, you want to retire to something, right? Something like that? Wait, do you say that?
Because you hate your job?
Huh? Is that way? Something else you want to do? Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I talk about this in one of the workshops I did. People pre-retirement are focused on the retirement from, and they experience this period of literally like euphoria. I mean, it's like, wow, I don't have to get up. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to, respond to my boss on my phone during dinner. I can, actually travel when I want.
Wade does that right now, by the way.
Well, it's a great feeling, right? Like to imagine having that freedom is great, but it gets old, right? And so the retire from is a rush, but it's temporary. And then if you don't retire too, honest to God, you're bored out of your skull, right? So you have to figure out with your new time affluence and retirement, what do you want to do? And most people don't really address that until they're in retirement. And that's part of the message that together we're trying to bring people. It's like, get your finances in order, get your retirement plan in order, and you can have a very fulfilling and gratifying retirement experience.
What are some ways that you've seen people address that? Do they do like a retirement test? Yeah, I'm making up a phrase. But something like that while they're working.
Yeah, it's really funny. You are making up a phrase because one of the things that shocks me is that we have all kinds of tests. When a kid goes to college, right? You guys have school age kids, and I've just been through this not too long ago. For to choose what college you're going to go to as a kid, you know, you read all the stuff, you visit campuses, you write, you know, essays, all this. You invest tons of time, energy, and effort to figure out where you want to spend the next 4 years of your life. Retirement is probably going to be 2-3 decades. And yet the amount of prep that people do, almost zero, right? And there are, you know, I have done some prototype tools to help people that were used by major financial institutions to help them envision their retirement, what they might like to do, because it's important not to articulate just to, you know, someone else, but even to yourself, right? And oftentimes people know what they want to do, but they might not have verbalized it. And so I would say still, we are embarrassingly short on giving people tools and resources to help them think through what they want to do in retirement. And so what happens is they retire, they have the retire from, right? And it's great. And then pretty soon they get bored and they, you know, they sometimes go back to work. Some people never figure out their retire. People, you know, you look at incidence of depression, it actually goes up in retirement. Because a lot of people are just, you know, they feel cheated. It's like, I was looking forward to retirement, and, you know, what, this is it? So it's a huge risk. And there's more for, you know, all of us to do to help people, you know, come to terms with that.
Okay, so if I'm listening, I'm thinking, all right, thank you for that information, guys. But you're just telling me I'm going to get hit across the face and I just got to brace for it. Kind of thing. Am I off on that?
I think that's one interpretation, and unfortunately, that does happen to some people.
You can say I'm wrong. That's fine. No.
It does happen. I mean, that does happen to some people. But I would say the smarter path is to really, even before you retire, right, start to dip your toe in things. Think about what you want to do post-retirement. There's a whole industry popping up of retirement coaches, right? A good retirement coach won't tell you what to do, but like a good psychologist, they'll ask you questions. Oh, you know, I don't know. Or ask your family, right? What do you think I'd be good at? What do you think I'd like to do? And I think what's fascinating is I've done a lot of work with sort of senior executives and people like that, that, you know, they were defined by their job. It was their identity. And for some of them, the risk is, you know, is huge.
Yeah, no one picks up the phone anymore, right? No one takes their call.
Right? Yeah, exactly, right? You know, the garbage man tells you, hey, you know, the garbage can goes on this side of the street, not over here. I mean, you're like, wait, what? You know, I have to make my own flight reservations.
Did you ever see the movie Trading Places?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know if you know what scene I'm thinking about, and it's kind of a little off, but when Dan Aykroyd is selling his watch and he goes to the pawn shop, and he's kind of saying, you know, I don't know, this watch is, you know, is from Staud or something like that, and it's thousands of dollars or whatever. And the guy looks at him and says, but in Detroit, it's $30. Like, what I'm getting at is no matter who he is, it doesn't matter.
You know? Right, right.
Let's take a moment to let the audience know that this show is sponsored by Retirement Researcher. You can learn more about Retirement Researcher at retirementresearcher.com and subscribe to our newsletter, where you'll receive weekly actionable information for your retirement planning benefit. Retirement Researcher is an online community devoted to helping you create the retirement income plan geared towards your goals.
So, yeah, you know, so I think if people took their planning beyond just, okay, wow, my 401k is growing, that's great, you know, and included in their planning a little bit about what they might like to do, it would be much smoother. And, you know, on the other hand, I would say, you know, there's no real urgency. Lots of people try different things. Oh, tried that, I didn't like it. Tried this, oh, you know, I do like it. And, you know, that's okay too. One other observation, just as we're talking about this, is a lot of times people who are really technical find that a lot of like engineers and frankly, grid heads or propeller heads, I guess, like you, Alex.
No, I got you.
You know, they end up wanting to do something creative. The number of people, right, who are engineers that are taking photography, like, seriously, right, or writing a book of poems or learning to paint, It's very interesting. So sometimes retirement can be an outlet for things that may always have been part of who you were, but didn't get added.
So it's not necessarily they're thinking, you know what, I'm going to work on another muscle in my brain. It's more, this thing has always, it's always been a calling, and I've always just looked the other way, and now why not?
Yeah.
Maybe a way to think about
I've had
that
people.
Investing and diversifying, and it's not just investing in your financial capital. It's also investing in your relationships and your hobbies and your passions, and having a more diversified portfolio, not just of financial assets, but other lifestyle type assets as well, so that you do get to retirement with. And I think that can be hard for people who I think the folks that may be listening to this may be more on that financial analytical side. And so, but that's a great point about that idea of the creativity. And I do also have a concern, people may spend their whole life thinking about some hobby they had when they were a child, and that, when I finally retire, I'll be able to do that again. But if you've been putting that off for 40 or 50 years, you might not really want to do it as much as you think.
And right.
Another
right. It's always been sort of like, you weren't allowed to. That's not so great anyway.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't discount that, because Wade has always spoken to me about his paper mache sculpting hobby that he's wanted to really, expand upon. So maybe there's hope for him there, Wade. You still got a chance there, buddy.
Well, Wade might open up like an online pinata business. How about that?
Can you imagine if Wade ends up doing like paper mache sculptures?
Could be there. Could be there.
One in a million, Doc. One in a million. No. Going back to what caught my attention too, you're talking about retirement. There's like a cottage industry of retirement folks. Can you just give us a little bit of what's your take on that in terms of the lay of the land, in case somebody's listening in, that's something they could look into?
Yeah. There is a growing number of folks who, kind of hang a shingle as a retirement coach. And by the way, there's sort of like there's certifications, and there's groups that they can belong to. And I think, generally speaking, it's not terribly expensive. I would encourage people to find someone, pre-pandemic, found somebody locally, but depending where you are, if there's not somebody locally, and certainly, we're all used to using Zoom and everything, you can, to anybody across the country, see what they have to just experience it.
But this is a very localized thing. This is more, hey, look, I've got the maybe not. I'm making this up. I've got the money situation kind of figured out, or I know that I'm going to be fine for the most part. And so next level, I need to make sure that I can satisfy these sort of my time in retirement in a fulfilling manner. Can you help me do so? Is that the underlying question that usually they solve for without being too deconstructive?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, right? It's sort of what will be your motivating purpose in retirement? And, I would say another aspect to all of this, by the way, is not just your motivating purpose. It's, let me put it this way. One of the great risks of retirement is isolation.
Yeah,
right. And
I believe that.
Yeah. And so we are used to, in our working careers, forming friendships and meeting people whether we want to meet them, right? And, interacting with people all the time. But in retirement, another element of a good retirement plan is, how are you going to stay in touch with people? Who are you going to stay in touch with, right? And you have to be much more purposeful about your socialization, if you will, than you've had to for the last, 4 or 5 decades when you were in school, right? Or you were part of the parent group or whatever it was. And, the older you get, the smaller your circle of peers becomes. Actually, I had a guy once tell me, hey, Dan, the best part about getting older, no peer pressure.
Yeah. No, but you're right. I mean, at work, Wade and I, for the most part, we speak maybe he doesn't want to, right? But no, we're speaking 4 or 5 times a day. Same with Morgan and Bree, who are in the back helping us produce this. Same with Bob. You know, but who knows when we retire? Wade doesn't pick up my emails. Nothing.
I mean, your world potentially. Your world potentially becomes much smaller.
And if you, that's also a consideration for housing, right? Like if you're living in the suburbs, you have to plan ahead. What if I become less mobile? What if I have trouble with driving at some point? Do I have neighbors and others who are going to check in on me? Am I isolated where I am in a way that I may want to anticipate and move or whatever the case may be in advance of that?
This reminds me of another piece. You're absolutely right, Wade. I was going to say you're absolutely wide, Wade. Like, I messed that up. Excuse me. But this has to do with, I think, because you said isolation. I'm thinking of my parents, and I'm thinking there's a health component to this with them. And I'll give you the story. My dad started losing his hearing. As soon as he started losing his hearing, and yes, you could get him hearing aids, but he did a terrible job, like, not losing them, you know, or, getting wet, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And as soon as his hearing went, he really started isolating himself in a significant manner. And before you know it, I mean, he has Alzheimer's, and it kind of led to where he is right now. But it was like a flip of the switch when the hearing went. And I'm going with health concerns. Then you have my mom, where she had a quadruple bypass, and she was never the same after. I think it had something to do with blood flow, and she was just she lost a couple steps, right?
Yeah.
But she was very social before and after. She just had trouble. Something as simple as her phone. You know, she wasn't in, you know, there's no smartphone in her world or anything like that. But if you can't keep up technologically, she effectively became isolated because she doesn't know how to email. She's not going to receive pictures of the family. You know, everything that you take for granted now is not available to her. And so that does concern in a major way. So it's this you said the isolation socially, but sometimes it's exacerbated by orders of magnitude if there's some sort of health wrinkle. Am I off on that? Are my parents the only ones? Or
no, your story, unfortunately, is true for many, many people, and it illustrates several important points, right? I mean, the one is, right, as your hearing, or by the way, your vision, right?
Oh,
if
vision,
either of those goes, you get that fixed as quick as you can, and you become, you know, if you back your hearing aids because you get them wet, then you got to get another pair, right? Because that is a
after
huge
the fifth time, really? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I mean it's a huge accelerant towards isolation. And the other one that you brought up, which is really key, it's very insightful, Alex, is technology, and the way we communicate today is different than the way we communicated 20 years ago. And your example of the smartphone is exactly right. I mean, in my case, smartphone, you know, it's not, you know, the latest and greatest, but
I got a
good smartphone, and taught her how to use it because I knew if she didn't have that, she would talk to her grandkids at Christmas and Thanksgiving, and that would be it, right? But now, you know, my kids, they send her a text once in a while and a picture, and she's overjoyed. So what I tell people is, this is another example, right? When you leave the workforce, you don't have to, you're not keeping up with tech anymore, right? Unless you force yourself to. So build into your retirement budget cash for, you know, changing technology. You know, every 3 to 5 years, you ought to buy a new, you know, laptop or whatever. Every 3 to 5 years, you ought to buy a new phone, and you have to know how to use it. Because
But the only thing I would say, Dan, there's no chance. My mom, okay, mom, here's a new phone. Here's a tutor. Here, I'm going to bring Wade in every day, and Wade every day will show you, will give you a new password and write it down for you. There's no chance that's going to take off. It just won't. I don't know. Well, not that this is a counseling session for me, but it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And I think there is a generation. And I think this also goes to what are your expectations for retirement, right? I mean, too many people think retirement – I mean, part of the great gift of retirement is that you're not really responsible to anyone. But the flip side is you're responsible to yourself, right?
Oh, and that's a good point.
Right? Retirement takes work. You want to
kind of
stay fit?
Future self concept.
Yeah, right. I mean, everything from health, technology, you know, motivating purpose. Retirement is not adult recess, right? I mean, it can be, but it's pretty unfulfilling, right? You know,
depends on the recess.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's just where you do nothing and you gossip and you know the day just passes. No, I mean, and I think all the data suggests that the current generation retiring recognizes that more than the prior generation, right? So I agree. Like, you know, your parents and folks who, you know, that's just not something I'm going to do. Okay. But hopefully we can educate this next generation of retirees to think differently. And by the way, we better, because if their retirement's going to last 2-3 decades, oh my God, you know, facts came and went, you know, like technologies came and went over that period of time. So plugged in and part of society, we need to own that ourselves.
Gotcha. And so then, Dan, I'd like to see if this is a good transition, because just for folks, you know, Dan will be doing actually an e-course for us on retirement research or on these topics. And something I kind of introduced with my parents' situation. Yeah. And wait, I don't know what the situation is for your mom, if there's anything there, or if she's like smooth sailing. So I didn't mean to not ask you. But how important is health with regards to this equation? Because I think, like, in a similar manner that I said there needs to be a baseline of money.
Yeah.
You know, how does health play into this? Because, I, you know, ultimately, unfortunately, it doesn't get better and better as you age. Though the best you could hope for is, you know, it there's no decrement. But I don't know. What are your thoughts on that and how it maybe applies to what you're going to be doing with us?
Yeah, I think health, I think it can easily be argued that health is the biggest variable in anyone's retirement plan. And I mean, from a financial point of view, as well as a personal fulfillment point of view. And for too many people, it's easy to just chalk it up as like this big black hole, you know, health. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what the future is going to be. So, you know, I'll just deal with it when I get to it. And so what typically happens is many people do not adequately address health risk. And so, I'm super excited. We're going to be very shortly here having a webinar and an e-course where I'm going to do my best to help people understand the nature of health risk. And in the e-course, out what they want to do about it. Because, in fact, you know, while there are many unknowns about our own future health, there are some things that are known. And there are curves that, you know, they're sort of that can unfold. And so we're going to talk about some of those. We're going to talk about, you know, your own personal health, those of your loved ones, your parents, your spouse, and others, and really just help people come to a better understanding of what is too easily dismissed as, you know, this completely unknowable risk.
Interesting observation. And what I'm getting at here is, okay, what Dan said struck me about how, you know, how some folks on retirement researcher get so caught up on market returns. Like, oh, what's the expected market return next year and 15 years after that? Or what's the sustainable withdrawal rate? Is it now 3.65 as opposed to 3.85? You know, that kind of thing. They get this false sense of precision. Whereas something as important of a variable in retirement as health, they just chalk up to, well, we'll see when we get there kind of thing. Like when I'm hearing from you, Dan, is no, you can make some tenable assumptions. Obviously, you're not going to be precise about it, but there are some tenable assumptions that could help you course correct as needed. Am I hearing that correctly?
Yeah, I tweak it just a little bit.
Okay.
So number one, yes, I agree that people will completely over-engineer their portfolio, you know, and leave a, you know, a multi-six-figure risk just sort of sitting there, like I don't know, you know, it's like, come on, like, what are you doing? What I would say, future. So, okay, we're going to accept that. But what I can do is financial decisions that are in your retirement plan. I can expose for you the assumptions you're making about you, right? So let's just say, for example, you have nothing saved for, you know, Wade, you know, you talk about the reserves and the for contingency expenses. Let's say, that's not just something I want to do. So you're basically assuming that you're going to be healthy throughout your whole life, be hit by a bus, and that's it, right? I'm going to spend nothing on it, basically spend nothing on healthcare in the final years of my life. Now, you know, it's tragic when it happens, but only about 233 people a year die. And by the way, most of them aren't in retirement, right? They're a lot younger. So the chances of you having a precipitous drop from healthy to dead is unlikely, right? And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to demonstrate some different kinds of curves. And then what you can do is you can, on your retirement plan, and recognize, okay, so I'm making this assumption or I'm making that assumption. And then you can decide, is it comfortable with that? And just like the retirement income style awareness, different people have different ways of, you know, addressing risk. Some people might be okay with it. Some people might say, you know what? By the way, I have no interest in being healthy. I'm going to enjoy my life while I can. I'm going to drink as many cigars as I can and have a blast. That's one approach, right? Someone else might
take. You've been reading my diaries.
Be like a health style awareness. You know,
I feel like you know me, Dan.
But there's reflections of it. It's the same respectful approach to the individual. Right? We're not going to pass judgment, but you want to be making conscious decisions, not just kind of uninformed, you know, going down the path without knowledge.
And another example of that, I think the examples we've used so far, more just thinking in terms of the personal health, but I think you will also address the caregiver issue or the long-term care and how not reflecting on the potential evolution of your health is making assumptions about the roles of others in your life that they may or may not be on the same page with and so forth. If you're not thinking about it, does that implicitly mean you're assuming maybe an adult child would become your caregiver or something along those lines? And
incredibly important way
as well.
Right? I absolutely am. I mean, in my mind, health is a very broad umbrella. Sometimes, you know, these surveys, you'll see it costs you X hundreds of thousands of dollars for health. By the way, this doesn't include long-term care. What is that? You know, I mean, yes, long-term care is
an incredible. Matt, that's what that is.
Right? I mean, you know, long-term care is an incredibly important, very difficult thing to grapple with, but someone's going to pay for it, right?
Yeah.
And it may be coming out of your pocket or your reserves, or maybe your eldest daughter taking time off of work, right? Not getting missing 3 years of pay and Social Security benefits, you know, accruals and all that. But someone is going to pay for your long-term care. Maybe it'll be the government if you run out of money, right? But to at least think through what are the implicit assumptions in your retirement financial plan. And, you know, and for some people that may be fine, right? Like, you know, maybe certain, you know, families feel like that's, you know, that's duty and that's fine and they're on board and that's expected. But, you know, to your point, do they know that? You know, do they expect that? And have you talked about it? So, yeah, we are definitely going to cover long-term care as well. And it's, and by the way, I don't want to overpromise either. Health is a difficult variable to contend with in retirement. There are, by the way, we're going to have a little bonus session at the end. There are things you can do to, you know, improve your odds of remaining healthy for as long as possible. No guarantees, but we're gonna talk about some of those as well, because health in retirement is different than health when you're 20 or 30, right? When you're 20 or 30, it's about looking good and, you know, being able to run a marathon or a 10K. When you're older, it's much more comprehensive, right? Balance is just as important as endurance, right? So what we're gonna talk about, some of the other elements of what it means to be healthy in retirement and help people kind of understand. what those are.
As a callback to that too, we were talking about earlier, like maybe you've been thinking your whole life, well, I don't have time to exercise now, but when I retire, I'll finally have the time to exercise. Yeah. That might be an example of the act of retiring may not change your situation there and might create more issues emotionally just because now you don't have the excuse and how to get over that sort of procrastination and actually take advantage of this opportunity to help improve your health as much as possible.
Well,
yeah, actually, I just not too long ago, it was pre-pandemic, but we did some research exactly on that topic. And yeah, there's a huge intention gap, right? That people say, yes, I'm going to exercise more, and not as many people do. And I think part of the trick there, we'll talk about this in the e-course, you know, part of the trick there is combining some of the things we've already talked about. How do you make exercise, for example, not be a chore, but be social, right? You're going to do it with others. You're going to do it with people you like. You're going to do activities that you truly enjoy. Really, the key to unlocking your, you know, just the overall retirement potential is trying to make it all work together. And the point you raise is a big one, Wade.
Wade is at the Sherpa level on the Peloton already. He's amazing. He's amazing. I can't even catch up to him anymore. No, I'm kidding. Hey, just because we're at 45 here and your first interview, I think it's gone great. Let's kick it off with this. Let's do a pre and post, right? Yeah. What's the one thing, the transformation, if you will, that someone will have if they go through the e-course with you on retirement and health? How will they be different leaving it?
Yeah, so I would say for anyone that feels like the topic of health is this black hole and deals with that risk with the very powerful psychological coping mechanism called denial, right? That if you feel, by the time you're done with the e-course, you are going to have a much more kind of tangible understanding of what health risk is. There are different phases of it. There are different elements of it. There are different ways to think about each of those elements and phases. There are different tools to mitigate some of that risk. And there are different techniques to help you do that. And so you will go from being sort of like in denial to having made informed decisions that are in concert with your personal beliefs, your personal financial situation. And then what it allows you to do is once you do that, then you don't have to think about it anymore. Because an element that you don't know, you've taken care of everything that you can take care of. And then you're done. Then you live. And so, we'll take people out of the black hole and make them informed. That's my goal anyway.
That's awesome, Dan. And as you can see, just listening to Dan for the better part of the last 45 minutes, this is why upon speaking to him, we said, hey, Dan, you gotta help us out here and be part of this community here. So thank you for being our first guest on Retire With Style. And I just wanted to give my thanks, Wade. Take us home, buddy.
Yeah, thanks everyone for listening and for being a part of this. We're just so excited to see all the listeners and happy to have you here. Got a lot of great feedback from folks. And yes, thank you, Dan. You've been our first guest and a great guest. And we're looking forward to have you on the show again. And also, of course, the e-course and webinar first and then e-course coming up after that as well for people who are interested in learning more about this incredibly important variable that doesn't get enough attention. Thank you.
Well, guys, thanks a million for having me. Really appreciate it. As I've told you guys privately, I really am admirers of your work. I think, the RISA is incredible. We all have to keep working hard to help people kind of have the best retirement that they can have. So I'm thrilled to be working with you.
Hey, likewise, man. All right. Take care. Take care, everyone. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about health and retirement? Dan will be doing a webinar with a retirement researcher on the topic May 3rd and 4th at 2 p.m. Eastern. To learn more and grab your spot, head over to retirementresearcher.com/understanding. That's retirementresearcher.com/understanding. See you there. Wade and Alex are both principals in McLean Asset Management and Retirement Researcher. Both are SEC registered investment advisors located in Tysons, Virginia. The opinions expressed in this program are for general informational and educational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific securities. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor. All investing comes with a risk, including risk of loss. Past performance does not guarantee future results.